I was wondering if we could look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know we often go there, but I have a burden particularly for those who are younger here this afternoon. It has been a concern of mine for a little bit now that it's easy to give up the truth that we have been given. And I was thinking of what the Apostle Paul here says in 2 Timothy. I just want to read a couple of verses. Verse 13 of the first chapter, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And then down in the second chapter and verse 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And then in the third chapter, in the 14th verse, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Maybe we should mention or look at another verse too, a little further up. Verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience," and so on. So we find here that the apostle, at the very end of his life, just before he was going to be martyred by Nero, he writes this letter to Timothy. And he was living in a day that was very difficult. You'll notice what he says there in verse 15 of the first chapter. "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." And so there was a condition, you know, if you remember that Asia was that area where Ephesus was and Colossae, and these two assemblies had received, I suppose you could say, the very highest truth that we find in the Word of God. And yet it says here that all they that are in Asia have turned away from me. And so it was a very sad time for the Apostle Paul, and he was encouraging Timothy as an individual to keep on. And I want to say that this afternoon that there's a lot of young families here. You're bringing up young children. And I know you want them to continue on in the path of faith. But you're going to find that as they become teenagers, it's going to become much more difficult. And it's going to be very easy, perhaps, to give up the truth that you have known. But you'll notice here the apostle makes it very plain. He says, and to Timothy, "Hold fast the form of sound words." That's the beginning. You know, someone has said that you could actually translate that word, possess. Possess the form of sound words. You know, you can't keep something unless you possess it. And the way you possess it is to study it. And you know, I think that all of us need to make it our responsibility in these days to study the Word of God, to meditate on it, and it's so important. And then, of course, he goes on and says in the next verse, "That which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost." And again, that word "keep," I think, could be translated "guard." Guard by the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's only the Holy Ghost that can help us to guard what has been committed to us. And so it says, guard by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us, that which you have been given. And then, of course, as you go down into the second chapter, there's a word to those of us who are older, because it says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. In other words, we have a responsibility, what the Lord has given us, to pass on to the next generation. And it's often been said here that in this second verse, we really have four generations. It says, my son, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it mentions, what you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. So there's another generation, you might say, and they will teach others also. So it's to be handed down from generation to generation. And so the word there is commit, commit thou to faithful men what you have heard. And then finally, in the 14th verse of the third chapter, we're told to continue. You know, we often read those verses in Acts chapter 2 where it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And I think it's such an important word for us in these last days, to continue and not give up. And so we have those expressions given to us. The question is, what are we to commit? What are we to guard? What are we to continue in? Well, there's many ways we could look at this, I suppose, but it's interesting to me that it says in the 13th verse about holding fast, it says, the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And then you'll notice when it comes to the next verse, oh, not so much the next verse, but, well, yes, that good thing which was committed unto thee. Now, what was committed unto Timothy? It was what Paul had given him. And then in the second chapter, again it says, the things which thou hast heard of me. And then in the third chapter, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. My doctrine, that's verse 10. And then in the 14th verse, what he had learned from the apostle, he was to continue in. In other words, the apostle is saying, what you have heard, Timothy, from me, that's what I want you to continue in. And the question is, what's he referring to? Well, I believe he's referring to Paul's doctrine. You know, there's a little booklet that I would suggest you might read. It's written by, I think it's F.G. Patterson. It's called Paul's Doctrine. And I think this is what Paul is particularly talking about when he's talking to Timothy. He wants Timothy to remember what he had instructed him in. Well, what was it that Paul had been instructed in? Well, we could look very briefly at Ephesians chapter 3. Because in Ephesians chapter 3, I think we have a little hint of what Paul's doctrine consists of. It says there in verse 3 of chapter 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. In other words, the mystery was committed to the apostle Paul. And then he goes on and says in the 5th verse, which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men. So this was not known back in Old Testament times. But it was revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So it seemed to me that God actually revealed this mystery of the church to the apostle Paul. And then he revealed it also to the other apostles and prophets. It wasn't a private interpretation of the Apostle Paul himself. It was given to the apostles and prophets. And what was the mystery? Well, we have it there in the sixth verse, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I have been made a minister, according to the gift of grace of God given unto me. So here was what Paul wanted Timothy to remember, the truth of the church. And of course, we get that in the instructions for this in his epistles. We get it in, you notice when you come to the 1 Timothy there, I just referred to it briefly, but in 1 Timothy it mentions in the 3rd chapter in the 15th verse, it says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And so we find in 1 Timothy the house in order, the way things should be carried out in the early days when the truth was first given. But then when you come to the second epistle, we all know what it says there in the 20th verse of the second chapter. It talks not about the house, it talks about the great house. In the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So there's a mix there of what is of God and that which is of man, and what is honoring to God and what is not dishonoring to God. And that's the way things are today. We're living in the great house. It's the great house of profession. And and so this is what has happened. The Christians have given up the truth of Paul's doctrine. And Paul had to say of those in Asia, they had forsaken him and they turned away from him. Well, I believe he was talking about the apostles' doctrine. Well, you know, if we go back to the Old Testament and we read the story, or at least the history of Ezra and Nehemiah, you would find there that Israel had been taken away captive for 70 years. And the reason why they had been taken captive was because they gave up the truth that they had been given. They turned to idolatry. And there they found themselves in Babylon for those 70 years. But you know, the wonderful thing is that God came in and brought restoration. And the result was that Ezra went back to the land of Israel. And so did Nehemiah. They both sent back large numbers to the land of Israel. I understand that there was about 42,000 that went back from 42,000 that went back from Babylon to Israel, and that was really a fairly small number. I understand at one time there were 1 million Jews living in Alexandria, which was in Egypt. So out of all the Jews that had been scattered, only a reasonably small number had gone back to Israel, about 42,000. But you know, it's interesting to see what characterized them. If you went there to the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, we don't have time to go through it. Well, maybe we could just look at it for a moment. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. It says there in the first verse, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And it says in the third verse, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until the midday, before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So we find that there was restoration, and restoration concerning the word of God. They were very concerned what the book of Moses had to say. And they recognized that they would have to submit themselves to what the Word of God had to say. And then we find, too, if we went to the third chapter of Nehemiah, that they rebuilt the wall. And you know, the wall speaks of separation. And the two things that I think that this would instruct us in, the importance of the Word of God and acting according to the Word of God. And then the importance, too, of separation from that which is evil. And so this is what characterized Ezra and Nehemiah. And I just want to say that this is a little picture of what began to happen in the history of the world a little later on. I hope I can make it plain. But we know that during the Dark Ages, that would be a time maybe from 600 A.D. up to 1,000 to 1,100 A.D., the world was, at least the Christian world, was in darkness. The popes ruled. People were not encouraged to read the Word of God. In fact, they were actually told not to read the Word of God. And it was a time of great darkness. But you know, the wonderful thing is that God began to move, and he brought in the reformers. And you all know that Martin Luther was raised up of God, and he restored the truth of justification by faith. And that was a very important step. Not only that, but God also raised up a man to invent the printing press. And with that printing press, the book that he printed was the Word of God. And for the first time in many, many hundreds of years, people had the Word of God in their own language. They could read it for themselves. Before that, the church had discouraged people from not reading the Word of God. But now they had the Word of God. And not only that, but the reformers taught the people the importance of the authority of the Word of God, not going by what the Pope had to say, but what the Word of God had to say. And so that was restored to them. And I think it was a very important step in the history of Christianity. But you know, that's as far as it went. Another great reformer at that time was John Calvin. And he understood what Luther had done, and he certainly put a lot of emphasis on the gospel, and that's very, very important. But that's as far as they went. Now, you'll notice a verse in Revelation again. If you just go to the book of Revelation, when you go to the third chapter, and I can't go into all the details, we don't have time, but in the third chapter and in the second verse, we have a description of the period following the rest, following my mind is going from me here. The Reformation, that's what I want to say. It says here, this follows the Reformation. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. I understand that word perfect there really is complete. You could read it this way. I have not found thy works complete before God. In other words, during the Reformation, they restored the truth of salvation by faith, justification by faith. They restored the importance of the Word of God. They put it in the language of the people. And they talked about the authority of the Word of God. All very important. But as I said before, they didn't go any further. Their works were not complete before God. Now, you'll notice there's another verse in Colossians chapter 1, and verse 25, Paul says there, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, I understand that word fulfill is exactly the same word as in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, where it says perfect. So we can read it this way. The dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to complete the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul wrote the last book in the New Testament. We know that's not true. The last book in the New Testament was written by the Apostle John. But the truth that God had for his people was was Paul's doctrine, which would have been communicated to Paul. And that truth completed God's revelation to man. And so it says there that it was given to Paul to complete the word of God. And yet when you come to the third chapter of Revelation in connection with Sardis, which is a picture of Protestantism, it says that their works were not complete before God. In other words, they did not teach Paul's doctrine. And so what I wanted to say was this, that in 2 Timothy, when Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words and keep that which has been committed unto you, Timothy, he says, it was Paul's doctrine that was so important. And it's very easy to give up Paul's doctrine. I'm very thankful we've been brought up. Well, first of all, I didn't quite finish what I was going to say. In 1830 or so, God raised up John Nelson Darby. And I'm not trying to make him anybody special, but I believe that God gave him the responsibility of revealing the truth or reviving the truth of Paul's doctrine. And we can be very thankful for it. And we have a lot of ministry that we had on the table there yesterday, and many of us have in our libraries. It's really the truth of the Paul's doctrine that was revived by those dear brethren in the early 1800s. And it's what's being given up today. It's very easy for us to say, you know, we're small in numbers. There's not many of us. Why don't we just quit and go to a church? Well, you know, if you go to those churches, and I want to say this, that I love my dear brethren in these churches. I know many of them, and I can have limited fellowship with them, but they don't know Paul's doctrine. They're clear on the gospel, and in fact, in many ways, they put us to shame because they really are energetic in giving out the gospel, and that's very important. But, oh, Paul says, hold fast that which you have, that no man takes your crown. And I want to say today how important it is to hold fast the truth that God has given us. You know, the Lord is coming very, very soon. And we don't know just when it's going to be, but it's in the very near future. And the Lord just wants us to hold fast what he has given us, like a treasure, something that we value. Do we really value the truth that was restored at the beginning of the 1800s? Well, if we do, I think we need to get into the Word and study it and learn it. And that's really what I have before me today. I would say to those who are younger here and have children, value the truth. Go on in it. Continue in it. Commit it to others. Treat it as a treasure that God has given. And he will keep us. We cannot keep ourselves. We need to depend on the Lord. But my thought is how important it is to value the truth that God has restored to us. And that we, to a large extent, is not taught in the churches around us. In fact, we were noticing just at the noon hour that a lot of Christians don't make a distinction between the earthly blessings of Israel and the heavenly blessings of the church. They put it all together. And it's very easy to fall into these traps. But may the Lord keep us going on for him till he comes.